Hello and welcome to what promises to be a very informative episode of the Flagstaff County Podcast. I'm Kerry Castagna, Communications Coordinator for Flagstaff County. You're listening to the official podcast of Flagstaff County. All right, so I am joined today by Flagstaff Food Bank Board Secretary Lynn Jenkinson. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Kerry. It's so great to be here. And I guess I'm just here to talk about the food bank and what we do. And I'll tell you, I also work as the Executive Director for Flagstaff Family and Community Services. And we began coordinating the Flagstaff Food Bank on December 1st, 2021. And since that time, it has amazed me what the food bank does and also that the numbers are increasing. The numbers are really increasing for people who use it.
Unfortunately, that comes as no surprise. Inflation is driving the cost of everything up, and that includes groceries. So, Lynn, where would you like to start?
We came today to talk about the Tower of TP Challenge originally, and then I said, oh, I have such stats for the food bank and everything, but let's start with the Tower of Toilet Paper Challenge, because it was my dream when we started this to get on CBC's National The Moment, and I haven't done that yet. So I was hoping at some point that a larger media organization outside of Flagstaff may cover this, because I think the Tower of Toilet Paper Challenge, which started 2 years ago now, we've just done our second challenge, and it started because of a conversation I was having in the hallway at FFCS with Krista Mateer from Healthy Families. And we were kind of talking about what is the one thing everyone uses that they would need at the food bank. And we were kind of going food, but then we said toilet paper. Everyone uses toilet paper, and toilet paper can be really expensive unless you buy it on sale. So we thought, oh, let's try this Tower of TP challenge. We sent it out to the schools. They were interested in doing it as a challenge amongst schools. And a grade in each, like a classroom in each school, wins a pizza party for the ones who bring in the most rolls, not packages, but it's done by rolls. So in the first year, Daysland School won, and the community of Daysland won for communities. And then this year, we had a repeat from Daysland School, but the numbers were awesome. 4,800 rolls of toilet paper came in through Daysland School. They were in it to win it. I did not know there were so many different companies that made toilet paper. But when you do the toilet paper challenge, you see everything from Purex to Kirkland to Charmin. And there's another one now called Bon Air or Bonita or something. Oh. But yeah, so.
So wait, how many kids are there in Daysland School?
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to say about 200, but it was the kindergarten kids who won. It was the kindergarten class who brought in the most toilet paper. They brought in over 1,200 rolls.
Oh, wow.
And the whole school, 4,800. The other schools, you know, not too bad. Forestburg with Forestburg School, 1,200 rolls. And Sedgwick School, 1,200 rolls. So, Daysland beat them.
But 4,800's off the charts. So what is that per student?
I don't know.
If we got 200 kids.
I didn't do that math.
Yeah,
you're asking the tough questions.
I'm not really good at math.
Yeah, it's lots. Let's just say it's lots per student. And the thing with the toilet paper challenge is we ask them to bring in rolls, not necessarily packages. So if somebody can't afford toilet paper, they can still participate by bringing in a roll, and then we put them in bags when we get them to the food bank. But even for communities, Killam did really well this year. They were the winning community. They brought in 1,832 rolls, and I can tell you that's because the Wild Rose Co-op had it on sale for $3.98 a package, so they were really helping
that
us. That really helped, right? Yeah. Because people said, oh, it's only $3.98, we can put a roll or a package in, and people were buying it by the case, and so it was really good. But in the end, what it comes down to is we had over 10,000 rolls donated. Last year, we were at 8,900 rolls, so we increased the number of rolls donated, but last year, I found it really interesting because 8,900 rolls, and there's 8,440 people in Flagstaff, so we got more than one roll per person, and this year, at 10,324 rolls, we got way more than one roll per person, and that will now last us 12 months. that will last us 12 months. That saves us over $10,000 in buying toilet paper. That's huge for a little food bank. We don't have to buy toilet paper for a year. And then if we can do this every year, that can save us $10,000 every year, like forever. And it is fun because then we go out with the Holby's glass trailer and pick up the toilet paper. So this year, Laverne Bully, who's another Flagstaff Food Bank board member, mm-hmm. took his trailer to East Flagstaff, and we took the Holby glass trailer to West Flagstaff, and we were full in Daysland. Wow. We had to come back and empty it, and yeah, so it was interesting that way.
Because you had about 5,000 rolls.
Yes, we had 5,000 rolls from west side of Flagstaff and from Daysland. So it's really fun, and that's what the schools told us. We had all the schools participate this year except for Killam. I'll get them on board again next year. But they said it's so fun for the students. They do it in Sedgwick. They don't do it by classroom. They kind of do it by teams or houses or whatever that they have in that school. So every school runs differently, so they all do it differently. But the students seem to have so much fun with it, and it's toilet paper.
Yeah.
And it's useful.
And there's the awareness factor, right? Because this campaign just... really does get a lot of traction out in Flagstaff, and people have really become aware of the campaign, would you say?
Yes, and we will do it again next year. And the other thing about the Tower of Toilet Paper Challenge is it's easy, it's light.
Yeah.
Like if you have canned food, you can have 20,000 pounds of food. Well, this was like 2,000 pounds of toilet paper, and it'll last us a year. We're very lucky because we have a food bank where we can actually store it. So our upstairs is kind of full of toilet paper right now. And then, yeah, and everyone gets toilet paper.
Yeah.
We have what do we call a standard hamper, and there are certain things that every family will get, and package of toilet paper. The hampers are designed to last 1 week for each individual or family. It's not designed to last a month, so a lot of people may not know that because they're thinking people are relying on the food bank for their food. They're relying on the food bank to help them get through a month. It's not to feed them for a month. The design in our Flagstaff Food Bank policy is it's for 1 week of food. You get way more than 1 week of food. We're mm-hmm. quite generous here because Flagstaff is a really generous community. But yeah, so you basically get a 24-pack of toilet paper.
It's really to top them off for the month, right?
Yeah, we don't want people... The food banks, I looked at the history of food banks, and they were founded, and actually it surprised me, in the United States the food banks were founded. I thought it would have come from Europe for some reason. Yeah. When I think of how people are needy all over the world, it started in the United States, and then the first one in Canada, believe it or not, was in Edmonton, started by the Edmonton Gleaners Association way back in the 60s.
Wow.
So they are not a lifetime. And when food banks were founded, they were founded as an emergency, and they were founded to get people through a tough time, and 50 years later, we're still here in that tough time. It just ebbs and flows.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point. So Flagstaff is very generous. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, we get 80% of our donations in November and December of each year, and this year, I can tell you, we got about $50,000, and that is individual donations, corporate donations, organization donations, and any sort of donations. And the reason I know that is I had to add them all up because the Alberta government is offering a matching grant right now. So from December 1st to December 31st, we received just over $50,000 in monetary donations. That doesn't Wow. include all the food that came from like Sedgwick Lake Park and stuff. That's just monetary donations. And people remember us at Christmas. Now that $50,000 helps us for the rest of the year. And this year, it's going to help us hopefully get a matching grant from the Alberta government, because they just introduced these grants to help food banks because they're recognizing that a lot of food banks are in trouble. But we do really well here because people recognize the need. And I think because it is an agricultural community, we know how important food is.
Yeah.
Food is really important to people. And the numbers are increasing. And I keep saying that. So let's look a little bit at the numbers. So last year, and our year goes from December 1st to November 30th. So okay. When you look back to December 1st, 2021 and November 30th, 2022, we handed out 564 hampers. So those 564 hampers, that doesn't connotate an individual or a family. It connotates one hamper. So out of those hampers, 959 adults, and this is the scary number, 500 children.
Wow.
So 2 years ago, 30% of our clients were children. Last year, it was 500 out of 959. So it's at 50%. Oh. We're serving 50%. And many years, government said we're going to get rid of childhood poverty. It's really hard. It's hard to get rid of childhood poverty because we don't send children to work for their food. Mm-hmm. Their parents are the ones that work for their food. And a lot of people say, well, who uses the food bank? I can tell you from our stats and from knowing the clients that the majority of people we're serving are working. They may only be working for minimum wage, but they are working. We don't have many clients who don't work. Yeah. They work at something. And the other increasing numbers we're seeing are seniors, because seniors on fixed incomes, they're not making it these days when they have a $300 or $400 bill for just power alone. So when people phone the food bank, we sometimes have to convince them to take a hamper. And it's really hard. It's really hard to make that call. Just think of us who were working for a living, and what happens if something happened? Let's say we lost a job or one of our spouses lost a job. We may need the help of a food bank maybe once a year, twice a year, once a month. You can only use the Flagstaff Food Bank once every 30 days, so people can't come for regular shopping, yeah. Right? They have a choice that they get a standard hamper, and then we have a whole list of extras. But the thing is, a lot of people, they're judgmental. I'm going to just try to be as kind as possible. They're judgmental and say, those people use the food bank. It could be your neighbor and you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, who used to run Alberta Food Banks, she met a young lady in Medicine Hat. She was a single mom with three children. And Stephanie was down there doing a tour of the Medicine Hat Food Bank. And she asked this young woman, like, you're using the food bank? And she said, yeah, it's my first time. And Stephanie said, well, can I ask you, like, how you ended up here? She said, I had a flat tire, one flat tire. My tire cost me $300. I have three children. She says that $300 just took budget money for food for the month. And this young lady said to her, each one of us could be one flat tire away from needing a food bank.
Huh. Everything's so expensive these days that it doesn't take much to throw you off. Eh?
And we're very generous here in Flagstaff, and the local co-op is huge. I use Daysland AG Foods for some of our stuff too. We just buy local, except right now we have keyed into Alberta Food Banks. They have a warehouse in the Nisku area, and we can order now from them once a month. And sometimes we're getting $20,000 worth of food from them in a month. But think about it, when you're doing 70 hampers, which are feeding 140 people, how fast that $20,000 worth of food would go out.
Yeah,
and meat now we get from Killam Co-op and Sedgwick Co-op. They give us the stuff that hasn't sold, or they sell it to us for a little bit above cost, because we can't expect everyone to give us everything. And so right now, when you get a food bank hamper from the Flagstaff Food Bank, you get a lot of meat. We never used to have that. So this partnership now with the local co-ops is getting us a lot more meat, because protein is really good.
Mm-hmm. And that's nice to have, yeah.
It's nice to have, and it's different. We always used to just give out a pound of hamburger for every two people, so everyone got hamburger. But now we get chicken breasts, we get chicken wings, chicken thighs, back ribs last week we were giving out to people. Oh. So every time you come, every month, you really don't know what you're going to get other than the standard hamper stuff, which I'm going to go through. So we know that people just get this certain amount. But for meat and stuff, you always will have hamburger, because we have farmers out here who are always giving us beef, and we get that done into 1 pound packages, either at Forestburg Meats or at Strom. We have people who donate us pork, so we have pork sometimes to give out. But it's kind of an adventure if you were to use the Flagstaff Food Bank every month, because you never know what you're going to get in meat, because it's always different. But the things that you always get in the standard hamper are a package of cold cereal, a package of pancake mix and pancake syrup, Kraft dinner, ketchup, canned vegetables, canned mushrooms, brown beans and tomato sauce, soup crackers. Then you get a can of mushroom soup, some chicken noodle soup, tomato soup, pasta sauce, spaghetti or macaroni, dish soap, because we also do hygiene items. Food banks aren't just for food. They're for hygiene as well. Household cleaner, garbage bags, shampoo and conditioner, toothpaste, bar soap, and the ever-famous toilet paper. And right now we have an abundance of things, so everyone gets some canned tuna, some alfagetti or pasta and sauce, and some kidney beans. So that's what's in a standard hamper, which we think, when we look at it, it's about 2 boxes. So every person or family would leave with 2 boxes. If you have more than 5 people in your family, you'd actually leave with 4 boxes. We double it up because the more people means you use more stuff. And then when people phone in to do an order, we have what we call the extras list, and that is stuff that we buy or people donate, and then people who phone in get to choose what they want then. So you also get to have like a little freedom of thought by saying, yeah, I would really like that if you have it. So that covers everything from underarm deodorant to tuna, canned salmon, flakes of chicken, ham, or turkey. And we also, and I found out our food bank board members are going to tour other food banks so we can figure out what's happening out there so we can make our own improvements. But I have found out that some food banks don't give weekly fresh products, and we actually do. So when people phone in, they have their choice of margarine, a cheese block, eggs, 1 or 2% milk, apples, oranges, bananas, carrots, 2 pounds, and 5 pounds of potatoes. So everyone always leaves with that. So we think, people are leaving with 4 or 5 boxes. So we know that's more than a week's worth of food. Not if you have a family of 6 children and 2 adults. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we feel it's very generous. And every time that somebody donates to us, they know that it's going to a good cause. And it is feeding people. Flagstaff is feeding Flagstaff.
All right, Lynn, you had mentioned that everyone thinks of the food bank at Christmas. I think maybe that has a little bit to do with the Christmas sharing program. Can you talk a little bit about the numbers for the Christmas sharing program?
Yeah, the Flagstaff Christmas sharing program, a lot of people get a little confused. It is a program of the Flagstaff Food Bank, but it's just to give hampers at Christmas. And during the pandemic, we had to pivot because we did not want to touch $20,000 to $40,000 worth, or pounds, I guess, worth of food and then give it out, because we were, at the time, we were doing about 130 Christmas hampers a year. So we changed to the coupon program. So people get coupons worth $25 each, and the Flagstaff Food Bank goes around the community and sets it up with all the store owners. So you can use the Christmas sharing coupons at grocery stores all around Flagstaff. You can use them at drug stores all around Flagstaff. We put in some gift stores this year because people may want to buy gifts, and the hardware stores. So you have a choice of 4 different stores and in every community.
That's a great idea. Lots of choice.
Lots of choice. And a lot of people say, well, it's for food. And I say, no, it's for food or gifts, because people may want gifts and they may not be able to afford it, but they have to buy in Flagstaff. The money is donated by Flagstaffians. Can we call them that? Yep. Flagstaff people. And then it goes directly back in. So this year we handed out $31,000 worth of coupons. And we did 210 separate hampers. Huh. We still call them hampers because that's just the way it works in the food bank world. And so we handed out 89 single hampers, 51 double hampers, because it might be a single parent with a child, but that's a couple, 2 people in the household, and then 70 family hampers. And this is, I'm always interested in stats because stats tell more of a story than sometimes the whole story. So we did adults age 65 plus. We had 92 of those hampers. 37 of them were male, 55 were female. So that shows us the population of Flagstaff. There's more females in need over the age of 65 than males. 18 to 64, the age, we did 242 people, 99 males, 143 females. So it's telling me that there's way more females in Flagstaff than males, especially those in need. Teenagers, age 13 to 17, 38, 19 males, 19 females, and children, age 0 to 12, that number is actually increasing, because we were actually kind of not having many babies for a while. So 45 males and 47 females. So yeah, so the $25 coupons, we handed out 1,172 and it added up to $30,000 almost. And we get all those back. We track them. We make sure people spend them. And that is money. Yeah. Money that stays in the community. So it's a really great program. And I will say, a lot of people say, oh, you should buy them food and gifts. We want to buy them what we want to buy them. This allows them to buy what they need and or want. And the other thing, it also saves our backs because we don't have to pack around a bunch of food and toys and stuff and pack them in. And then people used to come one day between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. to pick up their hampers. Oh, yeah. Now we can start handing them out. We started this year. We went too long the first years we did it. We started, you can start getting them the coupons on November 15th, and the last day is the last day the FCS office is open, so I think it was December 23rd this year, and you have to spend them by January 15th.
No, I like the fact that they get to have that choice. That's a really good idea, I think.
It is, you know, because, and we do get a lot of good feedback on it. I've only actually heard one negative thing from a client because they said, well, you always used to give us a turkey and now we won't get a turkey. I said, no, now you can buy one and you can buy one the size you need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be even cut down on waste, right?
Yeah, cut down on waste, cut down on, because I always used to think when we gave people the turkeys and we stopped that and then we started giving them hams, is that to do a turkey, you also have to have the pot to do it in. Yeah. You have to have the pots to do the potatoes. Like, you have to have everything, and not everyone has a turkey roaster.
That's true, yeah. So can you talk just a little bit more about the children were increasing? Like, is that just saying that we have like a lot of younger families in Flagstaff, or
we have a lot of younger families or a lot of younger families in need that know they can now access us. But many years ago, when people give toys for Christmas sharing, those toys for the 0 to 6, we always had a plethora of them, always. Oh, yeah. And we never really had those younger children. We always had teenagers, but now I see our teenage numbers are down. The age 13 to 17, we have 38 teens, but the 0 to 12 are 92, so they're up. So it shows, I think it shows how demographics shift in communities too, right?
True. Yeah, but it's there right from young ages right to the seniors.
Yeah, and we
the
and
need
we
is
see
there,
the need. The need is there, and it's really sad. And I didn't live during the dirty 30s, and we have seniors out here who did live during the dirty 30s, and they can remember. And I always say, with what we see going on right now, because I work in human services at Flagstaff Family and Community Services as well, is like we're seeing a real increase in need for all sorts of things. And if we, as the Flagstaff Food Bank, can help by providing people food on a monthly basis, then we know in the end, at least we're doing something that is helping somebody.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Lynn, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I just want to say, like, thanks to Flagstaff. I think we really show, not only provincially, but Canada-wide, what a giving community we are. We're just over 8,000 people. And we make sure we take care of our own. And we also have, like, the human services in the area that can find grants and stuff when they're available. But when it's not available and we make a call to the community, we post it on our Flagstaff Food Bank Facebook page. And I can use dog food. People say, why do you dog food and cat food? Well, pets are good for mental health.
Yep.
So if I can feed an animal through the food bank and help that person keep that animal, that's really, really important. But when we do get low on dog food or cat food, we put a call out, and within an hour at Killam Co-op, their bin is always full of dog and cat food. Ken will give me a call and say, okay, Lynn, come pick it up. And it takes like an hour. And that, things like that just say to me and my job and my volunteerism in the community is that we are doing good, and people know we're doing good, and they support us. And we thank them for their support.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And did you want to mention as far as, you know, federal funding isn't always there?
Or? Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and nothing against Justin Trudeau, but quite often he will stand up in Parliament and say, and your local food bank, go to your local food bank. I would like to say I've never seen any funding come from the federal government. Right now we're getting provincial government funding. Yeah. It is communities feeding communities. It is not government feeding communities. It's community people stepping up to the plate, giving a donation, whether it be food, hygiene, toilet paper, or cash. They're helping their neighbor out.
Yeah. And that's what Flagstaff farmers do, right?
Oh, the Flagstaff farmers are great. Like agriculture and the oil companies. We have so much support from the oil companies as well. Oh, yeah. Any company, agriculture companies that people don't even know are in the community. The Flagstaff Food Banks knows they're in the community.
That's awesome. Well, Lynn, you're always a wealth of information, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have to do this again very soon in the future.
I look forward to it, Carrie, because I think I'm just thinking of all sorts of other things we can talk about that's happening behind the scenes and that community people are helping community.
Yeah, thank you. All the best. Take care. We'll be right back.